Hello, everyone. I'm Trent Lewis. Welcome to another edition of Rural Route, the program where we gather every day at this time. Well, J.C. Cole, we do it Monday through Friday anyway. And what we do when we gather is continue to address the issues between food production and food consumption. J.C. Cole checking in from New Jersey. Simpsons missed the mark, by the way. There was no mushroom on May the 5th.
Yes. Well, you know, there's a May the 5th every year.
No, it said May 5th, 2024, clearly on that.
Okay. Well, that's good. We didn't want any mushrooms.
Yes. Actually, I'd like to get some mushrooms, to be honest with you. But they're called morels.
And yes.
We could coat them with some egg, put them in a frying pan. That would be handy right now.
That would be wonderful. Wonderful one. Quite a nice breakfast. So it's been a busy week, as anybody who looks at the news knows. And it just seems to be getting more crazy again every week. But one of the nice things that came out was many of our listeners look to Martin Armstrong. Martin Armstrong has a long track record of being quite accurate. And he was interviewed this week, and he came out and said, you need 2 years of food, you know, stored. It's like, isn't that a coincidence, huh?
Yeah.
So now you have one of the top financial forecasters in probably the world saying, you know, store 2 years of food. So just a little bit of a, you know, a summary on that. That's about 1 year of food is about 2,000 pounds per person. So you better figure out how to do that. And of course, that's got to be somehow preserved. And it's got to be a combination of foods, because you don't want to be stuck eating rice for 2 years. Your sanity will go first. So, you know, you can make the bulk of it out of rice, lentils, and beans, but then you need a bunch of other things in there to do it. And what I recommend is getting a couple of good books on it. Jonathan Holman's first book, Survival Theory, actually touches on it quite nicely and gives you some good advice, I think. And then another thing people don't think about is how much does it cost you to eat one person for 1 year?
Mm-hmm. What is the number estimated on that?
You know, if you're not eating, you know, shrimp and filet mignon and lobster, it's about between $3,000 and $5,000 per person per year. So if you're going to store food, and it's going to be a balanced storage of many different things, and you have a family of, let's say, five, you know, that's between $15,000 and $25,000 just in storage of food. Of course, we didn't talk about anything else like energy
I don't have any problem storing 2 years of food, but I got to know, do I have electricity? Do I have to generate electricity? How's this all working? Because it's different. It's completely different whether you have electricity or you have to make electricity.
That part's true. And, you know, I think you have to prepare so you can make some electricity. But that's one of the big things. We have been, you know, seduced by convenience, and one of the big seduce areas is refrigeration. And, you know, if you look, our entire food system revolves around refrigeration, and
right.
Of course that's linked directly to electricity. And if you lose refrigeration, we go back to the 1850s of what Grandma and Grandpa used to do on food storage, and almost none of us are prepared for that. It's quite concerning.
Well, actually, there are significant parts of rural America that did not get electricity until the 1950s.
That's true. I was on Craigslist looking for incubators, and I found some big, large farm incubators, meaning maybe 5 foot, 4 foot, 5 foot tall, that were purchased in the 1940s down by a farm near us. And literally the guy hands me the original bill of sale from like Sears Roebuck.
Wow.
From the like 1942, and said that they didn't get electricity there at their farm. So that's about, I don't know, maybe 15 miles away until 1940. And that's in New Jersey.
Remember, yeah, that's New Jersey.
New Jersey was the home of Edison. Yeah, so I think we underestimate how important electricity is.
So your house that you live in has been there for a day or two.
Yes. Okay, so it's rumored that parts of our house, a small little room, which is a different foundation than the main house, goes back to before the Revolution.
Oh my goodness! Yeah, that's fairly old.
Yes, and
I'm guessing somebody got rid of the outhouse instead of leaving it on the property.
No, we now have horses. I don't see why it would matter.
But my point is, all those homes had outhouses, and very few do anymore.
Yeah, and actually, this one room has a crawl space underneath it. The rest of the house has a full basement. And so one time when I was younger and thinner, I crawled underneath to check it out, and I found a full cistern.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so it's got to go back, you know, to the 1700s. And what ended up happening in this specific case is the township bought the property and
the poor farm.
The poor farm. And so this house was specifically designed as a poor farm, the poor house. Right. And that gets into the whole story. Most people don't understand, because we lost a good amount of history, is that in the old days, the township was responsible to take care of people who could not provide for themselves. And most of the time, the family provided for grandpa and grandma when they were getting older, you know, and that changed in, of course, 1943 or 44, when FDR came in and put in Social Security. And we all chip in a little bit of money from our paychecks that the government was not supposed to ever touch, but just to monitor as the steward, right? And then when we retired, we would be able to have some money. Well, of course, the government, someplace along the lines, changed their mind and borrowed the money. And of course, you know, took the entire Social Security fund and used it. And I think it was during the Reagan's time where he actually had to bail out Social Security because it was going bankrupt. And now we see that, you know, there are rumors that Social Security go bankrupt by 1932. Of course, I don't think we'll get to financially to 1932 before the entire U.S. government collapses from the debt load that it has.
Are you still in the FDR administration, or are you in the Biden time?
Well, I jumped a few decades into present time.
But you said 1932. You said we may not make it till 1932. I think will.
Right. I'm sorry. Not 2032. Yeah.
I think we got 1932 covered. I'm pretty sure. Although it's not going to be a great year. I just feel it.
Yes. And so now you have to think how many people are on government support.
I know.
This is, and what happens when the government has no money? And this is going to be catastrophic.
I shouldn't share this story. Well, I can't till we get back. Roll Route, J.C. Cole, Trent Lewis, more after this. That time of year, as a farmer, you need to know how to control pests, and you need to do it efficiently. We don't need to waste any more time in any area of food production than possible. Apache sprayers assist in convenience, reliability, innovation, and service. Simpson Farm Enterprises from Kansas, Nebraska, Colorado, business in Oklahoma and Texas, they get it done like nobody else. I mean, service is first for priority for everybody at the crew and the entire crew at Simpsons. Full details, and do you see what I mean, if you go to simpsonfarm.com. That's simpsonfarm.com with Apache sprayers. Welcome back, Roll Route, Trent Lewis alongside J.C. Cole. I watched a video, which is only a minute and a half. That's about my attention span. And I'm not going to say who it was because I don't know that it was accurate or it was just a spoof, but it was supposedly a Biden economic advisor who couldn't explain why we borrow money instead of just printing more money. I mean, it was awful, and it had to be staged. But I'm not sure anybody can do that in today's world.
I heard that same video, and it's like, I don't know if it was real or not, but you know, it pointed out some very, very simple things. Why exactly, if we print all the money we need, do we have to pay taxes?
Right.
You know, because I don't know. I think the estimate is that we might pull in maybe $1 trillion a year in taxes. But, you know, we have seen over the last, 4 years that the government just printed something like, I don't know, $5 to $10 trillion. And of course, you know, we get into the very direct issue of we're sending almost $100 billion to Israel, Taiwan, and Ukraine again. Why? And we can't close our own border. So, you know, this is just very obvious that our government is not controlled by the people. And this has to break. You know, we just don't have an unlimited credit card, and some people think that Trump's going to come in to save the day.
Believe that still today? How in the world do you believe that?
You know, what's he going to do? Pull a magic wand out of a secret hiding place?
Furthermore, look at his track record. During the Trump administration, we grew government and debt at a rate that we'd never grown it before. Now we've surpassed what he did, but he didn't do what anybody thinks he was going to do anyway.
Yeah, and so we're looking at the collapse of our financial system and the collapse of the dollar in what it means today. And that's incredibly painful. And this is what I got to experience, but not for me as the pain, but to watch an entire country go through that. When the Soviet Union collapsed, so did the Soviet ruble, and so did all the pensions. And so everybody in Latvia that believed in a pension, they were gone. This is heartbreaking for, you know, to watch a grandmother who's 80 years old and counting on her pension and it's not there. You know, and there's nothing you can do.
But explain the original intent to me behind a pension. Because if you just step back and look at it, and you have a company that employs people and they pay people while they work, but then they have a program in place where they pay them until they die. How over a period of 100 years do you expect this company is going to be able to withstand this? Or even 20, or even 30?
Well, I think that's some part of the weakness of the human being. That, you know, I never believed in Social Security since I was 18 and started to look at it. And you know, people think, oh yeah, the government's going to take care of us. Yeah, they're taking care of us all right. They're bending us right over the table.
Yeah.
And now we're fortunate, at least the people who are waking up are fortunate to realize you can scramble and get into a better position. And here's something I learned in life is that only from a position of strength can you help. In other words, if your farm is very strong and balanced and self-sufficient, then you can help your neighbors, right? You know, if you're a fat person, like 200 or 300 pounds overweight, and you see somebody drowning in a lake, you're not going to be able to help much, right? You're not in a position of strength. So get yourself into a position of strength as best as possible, and that's what prepping is. You know, prepping is basically having resources for a period of chaos that you can get through the period of chaos and be in good position where you can start to rebuild. Right. And what did I do? I spent 18 years rebuilding a country, helping rebuild the country, helping. Yes.
What was the progress from 1992 to 2010? How do you measure that? We're talking about Lafayette when JC was there from 1992 to 2010.
Well, that's a whole course study. It was fascinating because we went from an analog telephone system that didn't work. That was the Soviets. That was worse than our 1950s system. And we jumped straight in, straight by everything, right to cellular phones.
Wow. It's
like, yeah. Oh, yeah. And by the way, the same with banking. They don't use written checks or anything like that. You know, they couldn't figure out why we would be using an antiquated system of writing checks, which in some ways is a good point. You know, we're still using in some ways a very old system, right? And then one of the things that we will find out is that part of our infrastructure hasn't been, brought up to speed and modernized. And now we're at this point where we have such an amazing infrastructure, but we're not going to have the finances to maintain it, which is for all the farmers, you know what happens if you can't maintain your fences. What happens?
Cows get out.
The cows get out and the predators get in. And now we're right at that point. And of course, we're trying to figure out, you know, we're basically in uncharted territory without a map. And now we're watching as crazy things are happening. And one of the things that's happening is that the major governments, the Anglican governments are trying to start a war with Russia. You know, and that was one of the things. The British Ministry of Defense announced on May 7th that they were targeted by hackers. And Sky News reported that the sources are China. Oh, good. So the people protecting Britain just got hacked by China? Okay. Yeah, what's going to happen there? Right? You know, and you just look at the insanity going on. Biden announces the closure of all coal plants by 2035.
2032.
2, 5, doesn't matter.
Wait, it doesn't matter.
Yeah. You know, for a ridiculous statement of that we have to lower our carbon footprint.
And is mercury. There? He included mercury in this one.
Oh, yeah, okay, right, and of course, in many of the vaccines, there's mercury.
We got to get the mercury out of our atmosphere, JC. But yet, if you go to the dentist, they'll put mercury in your tooth.
Yes,
that makes perfect sense. Yeah, charge on down this stupid path.
Right. Oh, it all depends. it all depends on which dentist you use.
Yeah, and I know there's a movement and people now trying to tell me that mercury causes all of these problems. And well, really, we don't have problems. Just take a look back to the course of history and look at the quality of lifestyle. The problems that we have today, you just nailed them. You went to the unhealthy lifestyle that leads you to being overweight. That's not because you got mercury in your tooth. You got mercury in your tooth because you didn't eat the right foods and have the right exercise regimen, which led to cavities, which got to put mercury in your teeth. It's not mercury that's a problem. You're the problem.
Well, I agree with a lot of that. And a lot of that came down to programming. Okay. And if you look, and the major cause of programming is basically TV. That's why they call it
programming.
Right. And, you know, it's like, if you look, as best as I can tell, there's no evidence that the fluoride helps your teeth. And yet almost every toothpaste out there has fluoride in it.
You need to, we got to go to a break, JC. You got to tread lightly. We're on the radio, thanks to the program directors at the radio station.
Right.
We'll be back with more programming on Rural Route after this. Let's talk about certified Piedmontese, programming you to consume the most nutrient-dense food substance on the planet. And it 100% comes from Great Plains producers. Get more details and place your order. Here's the best part of the deal. You don't need to go to the store. We deliver the tender beef to your door. We ship it. We don't literally deliver it. That's up to somebody in the middle, which sometimes is a problem, to be honest. CPBeef.com. I'm just telling you the truth. CPBeef.com. Order today. Welcome back. Rural Route, Trent Lewis alongside J.C. Cole. I'm glad you didn't get offended, J.C., because when I said you, I wasn't saying you have a health problem. I'm just saying you in general. And I am so sad. I think I'm just going to start this new campaign to keep a list of how many people I can offend on a daily basis. People are offended and wear their feelings on their sleeves like never before. Yesterday, somebody lodged a complaint against me because I said something that might have offended them. Well, good. Fix yourself. You're not fit to survive if you don't have electricity and food. Figure out a way to make it happen, but it's up to you.
Right. And of course, if you look, they're trying to criminalize offending people.
Yeah, absolutely.
And which is just ridiculous, you know, and that's part of what we're going through is this uncharted territory of basically the collapse of Western civilization, with what it has and as norms, and you know, and we're trying to figure out and watch. And see how many different ways we're being attacked. For instance, there are two more train derailments this week. Okay, I mean, you know, when was the last time? I mean, you know, 10 years ago, did you ever hear of train derailments every week?
Where were they this week? I missed those.
Yeah, there was 20 cars involved in Ward County, west of Paiute, Texas. And then there was another train derailment from major flooding. Okay, so that might have been just a normal one, but down in Shiloh, Texas.
Yeah, Texas had some serious flooding over this past week.
Exactly.
In the Austin area, I think.
And, you know, when we just start to look at what's going on, I mean, we don't have any explanation for it because it looks like the patients are running the asylum. You know, the British Foreign Secretary, who used to be, I think, the Prime Minister, said Ukraine can use British missiles against Russian territory. Well, that's a clear, you know, act of war. You know, and the Russians are responding. You know, it's like, okay. And the Russians came out and basically said, you know, we will we will wipe the British Isles off the map with a flood. How can you not take that seriously? Right? And you know, and again, the British, the French, and the American governments are all poking the bear. For what reason?
That's a great question, one I seek the answer to every day.
Yeah, and I think what happens is there's somebody controlling them.
Yeah.
That we don't see, you know, like Adam Smith's invisible hand that controls this, and they said to these politicians who they've got, you know, wrapped around their little finger, you know, start a war with Russia, and the Russians are saying that will be the last war you start. You know, when you have the former president of Russia come out and said, "We're ready to meet our maker," I don't know any more stronger words than that.
Yeah, it's defining. But I brought this up on Across the Pond this morning. I'm really now seeing that Bill Gates, George Soros, Jeff Bezos, Larry Fink, they're the distraction. Klaus Schwab, they're the distraction. We're told about them too often. It's somebody behind them pulling the strings. And if we could just figure out who that is, maybe we could seek a solution or a remedy. I got the remedy. I just need to know who to go get.
Well, I agree with you, except for they're a real distraction. You know, Bill Gates is really poisoning people in Africa, right?
Yeah.
You know, Klaus Schwab is not, you know, a figment of the imagination. Yeah. So, yes, there is a real distraction. And I think what happens is this is where it's going to get really tough for just normal Americans. If you look, Klaus Schwab is clearly linked to the Nazi Party. His family was linked with the Third Reich. Okay. And he's pushing, you know, the agenda of basically the Fourth Reich. And he actually came out and said it. He wants the Fourth Industrial Revolution. Okay. Well, that's the Fourth Reich. Okay. Well, if you actually look into Nazi history, they were always involved with the occult. And what's the occult? Looking at other dimensions. And until people wrap their head around it, you know, if you don't understand that we probably are, we, in my opinion, we're not here alone, right? I don't see anybody who's skilled enough to build the pyramids. Somebody helps build the pyramids, right? And until you wrap your head around that, right, you can't figure it out. You know, if there are other intelligent species and you don't have it in your game plan, how can you figure it out?
So you just destroyed something. I thought those Egyptians were just amazing architects and engineers. They built these pyramids out of nothing in a period of time. How did they do that? It didn't have a crane. It didn't have a GPS.
They had to be all Schwarzeneggers to push that 30-ton rock.
They had some really good mules.
Yeah, yeah. And they didn't have any pulleys. And, of course, they didn't have high steel cables. So they had to pull those 30-ton rocks up a 60-degree slope, right, with vines.
With grapevines.
With grapevines. You know, it's like, I mean, you know, hey, come on, wake up. Wake up. You know, for all you who don't believe this, go out and push your 3-ton pickup truck on perfectly flat ground with high-end roller bearings, right? And see how far you can get. Now just try to push it up a 60-degree slope. You know, pulling it with a grapevine.
Yeah.
How stupid do we have to be?
Pretty stupid.
Right. And of course, you know, one of the greatest things is to look in the coral, I think it's called the Coral Castle. It was built by a Latvian down in Florida, right? Where he built this entire coral castle himself secretively, including making, you know, like 6-ton wall swinging doors that were perfectly balanced. How do you do it? Right. You know, and
you had a protractor.
No tractor.
Protractor.
Well, I don't know. You know, it's like, but, you know, and of course, as soon as we get to understanding that there's energy forces that we are not allowed to use. Well, that makes sense. If a certain group of bloodlines captured and require that we must use petroleum oil as energy.
Mm-hmm.
Right? If you started to reinvent some of Tesla's technology, the first stupid thing to do is go and try to patent it. Of course, then the patent agent, or it's the federal government, and then the boys in the black limousines, the black Suburban, show up and say, listen, you can't put this out because it threatens the economy of the United States, which is based on the petrodollar, right? And we're going to arrest you. And so you got your choice. You either turn over the patents to us or you spend the rest of your life in a deep hole. And I've heard scientists actually say this. They figured out part of Tesla's technology, and the boys from Washington showed up. And they had more guns, you know. And so, what do?
Well, you're never going to outgun the United States Army, or not the Army, the government.
No, of course not.
Because I don't believe the Army will turn on its citizens, but the government will.
Well, that's one good reason to have a whole bunch of illegal immigrants into your army, because they will turn on the citizens of the country, and that's been proven in history numerous times.
Did you see the letter that Governor Greg Abbott wrote to Biden this week?
No, I didn't.
Biden
not.
Is, because the founding fathers knew this day was coming, because history says it does. And so we have the National Guard under the direction of the governor of the state. Biden is working at eroding that right now, and Governor Greg Abbott from Texas sent a letter saying, no, not happening. And that is something that we all better rally around, because that's a big deal.
Yes, and it goes all the way back to I think, the Bush administration and the Clinton administration, where if I'm not mistaken, that when we went into Iraq, the second time, they were taking much of the equipment from the National Guards and sending it to Iraq.
Correct.
So how much military equipment does our National Guard have in each individual states, you know, to defend itself?
Yeah, that's a mess.
No one's looking at that.
The litmus test came when Biden also said that we're going to mandate all National Guards get the jab, and only two governors said, no, not on my watch. And that was Kevin Stitt in Oklahoma and Ron DeSantis in Florida. And the government said, well, if you don't mandate the jab to your National Guard, you're going to lose funding. Both of them said, fine. And neither one of them lost anything, by the way.
And now we see some of the drug companies coming out and going, well, yeah, we forgot to tell you. Yeah, there are some pretty bad side effects.
Like death.
Like death. Yeah.
Roll out. J.C. Cole, Trent Luce. We're alive and well, and we're back with the last segment after this. Now let's talk about, what do we got to talk about now? Greg Hager's in the United Kingdom. He's over there with Andrew Henderson. That is certainly to be interesting. He'll be there for all week, I think 10 days, including a concert this Friday night. Also remind you that there will be concerts at the National Western 2025. We're already starting to talk about this blending of food producers and food consumers coming to life. 2024 was a great step in blending and bringing the producers to the consumers to the same discussion, to at least talk about domestic food production and fuel as a means of national security. The National Western does all of that with a tremendous amount of competition. and the plethora of commercial females in 2024 really set the course for where we're going in 2025. Details at nationalwestern.com. Plan now to attend and breed some females. Welcome back. Roll Route, Trent Luce, alongside J.C. Cole. My potatoes are not surfacing yet, but we've had a little bit of rain, and the sun's going to come out. We're going to get some heat units. My potatoes are going to come, choo, telling me that I'm going to have a crop. Might have to borrow that freeze dryer and freeze dry some potatoes.
Absolutely. Yeah. I actually, there was a sale. You recall that. You know, because we're in New Jersey, you know, our ShopRite system, you know, our food stores can have some incredible sales where you can buy lower than the cost of making the food yourself. So they had a sale on potatoes, and I ended up buying, I think, about 600 pounds of potatoes.
Wow.
Yeah, at 20 cents a pound. Right. So anyway, hey, let's get to one of our more interesting part. You know, what happened this week in history of significance? Well, May the 5th, 1778. Of course, you know, I like the Revolution. And of course, much of the Revolution was fought right here in New Jersey. George Washington appoints Wilhelm von Steuben as the general of the Continental Army. Okay, so. So this was during the Revolutionary War, and von Steuben, obviously being Prussian, which we brought in military expertise from different countries, such as Lafayette from France and von Steuben from Prussia, right? But he was the first one to start. Basically, he's the father of teaching essential military tactics and drills. To our military. So he's like the father of our basic military training, which is pretty interesting. Unfortunately, it looks like the Biden administration and the Obama administration is trying to destroy that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So here's one. May the 6th, 1837, the United States blacksmith John Deere creates the first steel plow in Grand Detour, Illinois. Right, so that was the beginning of the company John Deere. And now we watch. What's very interesting is, you know, you often see the inventor and then the guy who creates it, like, you know, Henry Ford, and then it gets handed down to the kids, and then the kids sell it off to the corporation, and then you get the bean counters come in, and then you get the destruction of the company, right? And so if we look at John Deere, you know, I went to buy a tractor, and I wanted to buy a John Deere, except for they put a computer on a 50 horsepower tractor. What does a 50 horsepower tractor need a computer for?
And so now you can't repair it.
Yeah, you know, and so they screwed their customer base by trying to create some extra cash flow for their corporation, right? And sorry, but I went and I bought a Japanese Kubota, and it works incredibly well, and it doesn't have a computer.
John Deere is screwing its own customer base left and right, and people are still just wearing John Deere green like they're part of a cult.
Yes. Yeah. And so this is part of the destruction of the United States manufacturing, unfortunately. Right. And then here's a weird thing that we brought up once before. May the 6th, 1910, George V becomes the king of the United Kingdom, right? At the death of his father, Edward VII. Okay. But you had in one room, you can look this up, nine kings who came to the event, right? You had Norway, Bulgarians, Portugal, Germany, Belgium, Spain, United Kingdom, and Denmark, and Hellenists, which I don't even know what Hellenists is. but these were the kings, right? And these are the guys that, and they all dressed the same. They're all there with medals and swords and stuff like this. And it's like, isn't that interesting? And then 3 years later, we have the Federal Reserve. And we have like this bloodline that invades the existing kingdoms. And so if you actually look over the last 100 years, that's exactly what happened. The Khazarians have invaded the other bloodlines. And now it's time. And now it's breaking. Now it's being exposed. And right. Now here's a little bit of a piece of history that many people don't know, but it happened in New Jersey, May the 6th, 1937. The German airship, the Hindenburg, explodes in Lakehurst, New Jersey, killing 35 of 97. And if you looked at 1930s, there were dirigibles, which was, you know, a way of transportation, but they're using helium and, or I'm not helium, I'm sorry, hydrogen. And hydrogen, of course, is explosive, right? And no longer is used. And actually, during World War II, the Nazis invented a submarine that ran on hydrogen peroxide. Now, hydrogen peroxide is H2O2, right? But the what you buy is a percentage of 3%. But if it's at a very high percent, it's very explosive, it's a fuel. And unfortunately, fortunately, the Nazis' submarines would blow up, so they stopped using it. But
you can buy peroxide. You can buy commercial use in 5 gallon buckets. I bought it and use it.
Yeah, you can buy peroxide up to probably 30%. Yeah, you gotta be really careful because it'll start eating your skin. Right.
Well, it's so, what they use to clean the muscle, the flesh off of bones.
Yeah. Oh, thanks.
But there are people that use it for medical reasons. I can't think of the disease. It's a disease of the intestine. And if you take just like 1 cc per cup or something and drink it, I've used it on animals that had ulcers or different problems, and it worked well, but you don't want to overuse it.
No, that's true. And it's hydrogen and oxygen. And of course, oxygen in your blood system is quite good because it kills a lot of things. So here's a good one for humanity. May 6, 1954, the English athlete Roger Bannister becomes the first man to run, or first person to run, a sub-400 mile minute. Now, why is that important? Because all the experts told us that it was impossible for humans to ever run faster than 4 minutes in a mile. And as soon as Roger Bannister did it, that next year, about 5 or 6 other guys did it. And now you don't even qualify for the Olympics unless you're under 4 minutes, right? And so there it is, showing that this incredible human potential and how our system blocks it by telling us it's not possible. It's impossible that you can do that. And of course, he proved it. And as soon as he proved it, then not everybody can do it. I mean, you got to be quite fit to run a 4 minute mile, but that just goes to prove that our brains are much more powerful than we know. And people are programming us not to succeed. And actually, old John D. Rockefeller came out and said, I don't want a country of thinkers. I want a country of workers. Oh, what a shocker. Jeez, look what we have. Right. Okay, and here's another one.
Well, I'm not implying we have a country of workers. Let me tell you that.
Yeah, and here's another one that I think it has to do with what we're doing with in the world. May 7th, 1727, the Jews were expelled from Ukraine by the Empress Catherine I of Russia. Okay. Now, if you look back in history, you see over 200 cases where the Jews were thrown out. Okay, if you call them Jews, they're actually Khazarians. And actually, if you look up, you will find numerous cases that have been documented from a couple hundred years ago where they were doing child sacrifice. It's documented. So there's something in the religion that probably on the extreme side, not the people who follow the Torah, that require human sacrifice of non-Jewish people, children.
Yeah.
And it's documented. And now we're looking, what happened in Ukraine? What were they doing? Basically creating adrenochrome. That was one of the things they were doing. Right. And then May 7th is a strange day. May 7th, 1945, unconditional surrender by the German Third Reich to the Allies, signed by Alfred Jodl in northern France. And then later, the German commander, Wilhelm Keitel, signs the final unconditional surrender. And as we've talked before, my father, so that was May the 7th, my father delivered them by air to Nuremberg three months later, August the 12th. And that's documented. And so, and then another weird thing, May the 7th, not many people remember this, 1999, so just 25 years ago, so it was the 25th anniversary this May, that NATO bombed the Chinese embassy in Belgrade, Serbia, with U.S. planes. So the U.S. dropped bombs on an embassy. It marked the first time in modern history, even including World War II, that an embassy was bombed. Except for now, we now have the Israelis that did it to the Iranians. And of course, Bill Clinton came and formally apologized to the Chinese for this. Right? If you really want to understand how dangerous today is, read a book on Selko Begovic. All you have to do is type in Selko, S-E-L-C-O, and H, I mean, S-H-T-F, a sewage hits the fan. And you will find books that he was 19 years old and went through that war, totally unprepared, and all the human decisions that they made, thinking that, oh, no, this will just end shortly. And they spent about 5 years at war, and the horrors of a modern-day war in modern-day suburbia, you might say.
And will be the final word in the modern day with J.C. Cole, Trent Luce. We've journeyed down the path connecting food producers and food consumers. And don't forget, all roads do lead to a roll route.